الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم جن resembling snake excellence of صلاة النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم the prophet of Rahmah the intercessor of Ummah the owner of Jannah صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم has stated whoever writes Salat with my name in any book The angels keep making dua of forgiveness for him until my name remains in that book. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Number one, jinn resembling snake. Once Ghawsi-Azam Ali Rahmatullahi al-Akram was busy delivering a speech in an ijtima at his madrasa when a big snake fell onto him from the ceiling. The attendees got into a panic and stampeded, but Ghawsi-Azam Ali Rahmatullahi al-Akram did not even move from his place. The snake wrapped itself around his blessed body under his clothes. The snake then came out of his collar and wrapped itself around his blessed neck. But our Murshid, the spiritual king of Baghdad, his honor, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh neither became frightened nor discontinued his speech. The snake then jumped onto the ground, stood on its tail, uttered something and went away. After the snake disappeared, people gathered around Ghawsi-Azam Ali rahmatullahi al-akram and asked as to what it said to him. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh replied, that the snake said that it had tested many awliya of Allah, but had not found anyone as steadfast as him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, it came out that the snake was in fact a jinn that had come to test our Ghawsi-Azam Ali rahmatullahi al-akram, who remained steadfast by the grace of Allah azza wa jalla. Number two, a big-eyed man. Listen to another account of the same snake and admire the steadfastness of Ghawsi-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Ghawsi-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh said that once he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh was busy offering salah at Jami Masjid Mansur when the same snake came and placed its open mouth at the place where he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was to perform sajda. Pushing the snake away, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi managed to perform sajda, but it wrapped itself around his neck. It then went under a sleeve of him and came out from the other. When he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi finished the salah, the snake had disappeared. The next day, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi went to the same masjid, where he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh saw a big-eyed man. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh realized that the man was not a human but a jinn. The jinn then told Ghawsi-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh that he was the same snake that had bothered him. The jinn goes on to say that he, in the form of a snake, tested a lot of friends of Allah, but none of them were as steadfast as our Ghawsi-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Having said that, the jinn repented of misdeeds in the blessed court of Ghawsi-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, how diligently our Ghawsi-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh would offer his salah. On the other hand, we are so heedless that if even a fly settles on our body whilst we are offering salah, we lose our concentration. We can't even bear an itch. The foregoing parable also shows that even jinns are the devotees of our Ghawsi-Azam Ali Rahmatullahi al-Akram. Number 3. Satan's dangerous attack. Ghawsi-Azam Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, once I went to a jungle where I stayed for many days without eating and drinking. I had become very thirsty. Suddenly, above my head, a cloud appeared from which raindrops started falling, which I drank. A bright face then appeared in the cloud, illuminating the sky, I heard a voice saying, O Abdul Qadir, I am your creator and I have made all haram things halal for you. Ghawth-e-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, I recited A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, turning the brightness of the cloud into smoke. Then I heard a voice, O Abdul Qadir, before this I led 70 saints of Allah astray, but your knowledge has saved you. Ghawth-e-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, that I replied, O the accursed one, it is not my knowledge, it is the grace of my Allah Azza wa Jalla that has saved me. Thief comes where he sees wealth. Dear Islamic brothers, no doubt Satan is very cunning and tricky. He tries his best to trick us even by magic. Therefore, we should always be aware of his attack. We should not rely on our wisdom and intellect. Instead, we should implore Allah Azza wa Jalla to help and save us from the tricks of Satan. Remember, the thief steals from the person who has wealth. Similarly, if someone has the wealth of Iman, Satan will definitely try hard to snatch his Iman. Further, if a person has strong faith and performs good deeds in abundance, Satan will also make every possible effort to lead him astray. As our Murshid Ghawth-e-Azam Ali Rahmatullahi Al-Akram had very strong faith as well as a huge treasure of good deeds, Satan tried to trick him many times, but he failed each time by the grace and mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number 4. More tricks of Satan. Advising his disciples and devotees. Ghawth-e-Azam Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Quddisa Sirruhu Rabbani said, during the days when I used to stay in the jungle, frightening faced troops of Satan, equipped with different dangerous weapons, would attack me. They would throw flames of fire at me. With the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla, when I run after them, they would disperse. Sometimes Satan would come alone and try to threaten and frighten me into going elsewhere, but I would slap him, making him go away. I would then read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim, so he would burn. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Number 5. Hand from ghaib, i.e. unseen. Ghawth-e-Azam Ali rahmatullahi al-akram said, once, a foul-smelling and extremely horrifying-faced person came and stood in front of me. He then said, I am Satan and I have come to serve you because you have exhausted me and my followers. I said I asked him to go away, but he refused. Suddenly, a hand from the ghaib, i.e. the unseen, appeared and struck such a blow on the head of Satan that he sank into the ground, but he still managed to attack me with a flame of fire. Meanwhile, a horseman with his face covered came and handed me a sword, seeing that Satan ran away. Number 6. Traps of Satan. Ghawth-e-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, once I saw Satan sitting afar and throwing dust onto his head. Satan then said, crying, O Abdul Qadir, I am disappointed to have failed to lead you astray. I replied, O the accursed one, shove off. I can never be heedless of you. Satan said, this mindset of yours is the most troublesome for me. He then revealed to me many traps and tricks. I asked him about them. He replied that those were the worldly traps whereby he hunted many people like me. In order to be safe from them, I kept striving for a whole year until all the traps broke. Then lots of things appeared to me. I asked as to what those things were. I was told that those were the things which caused heedlessness. I then strived for another year until all those traps also broke. Keep trying to rectify yourself. Dear Islamic brothers, indeed it is very difficult to subdue nafs and Satan. Our Ghaus-e-Azam Ali Rahmatullahi al-Akram had to struggle hard for many years so as to subdue Satan. Here, there is a great lesson for those who give up hope and utter such disappointing sentences as I have made many efforts staying in the company of the Prophet's devotees in the Madani environment. I travel with Madani Qafila as well, but I could not yet overcome nafs and Satan. Such Islamic brothers and everyone else should keep struggling hard throughout their life for their rectification, seeking help from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number 7. Ghusl for 40 times in a cold night. It is stated in Bahjatul Asrar that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, I spent many years in the jungles of Karh. I used to survive on tree leaves and herbs. Every year a person used to come and give me a wool gown to wear. In order to get rid of the love of the world, I endured many hardships. I remained anonymous. People would consider me dumb, unwise and insane due to my silence. I used to walk on thorns barefoot, enter terrible caves and horrific valleys without any fear. The world used to appear to me in a beautiful form. But Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, I never turned my attention towards it. My nafs used to plead to me that it would obey whatever I liked, and sometimes it used to argue with me. Allah Azza wa Jalla gave me victory over it. For a long time I stayed on the plains of Madian and kept battling against my nafs. For 1 year I consumed the things lying on the ground and I did not drink water. For the other year I drank only water, I did not eat anything. Then for 1 year I neither ate nor drank anything. I would encounter extreme hardships. One night I was tested in extremely cold weather. I would repeatedly fall asleep and ghusl became obligatory on me due to nocturnal emission. I would immediately go to the river and make ghusl over there. On that night alone, I had to make ghusl 40 times in icy cold water. Hardship turns into ease. Quoting Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, Allama Imam Sharani Qudsira Sirruhun Nurani has written in the book Tabqatul Kubra, at the beginning I faced many hardships. When those hardships reached their peak, I lay on the ground and kept reciting verses 5 and 6 of Surah Alam Nashrah, which are as follows. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Translation from Kanzul Iman. So without doubt there is ease with hardship. Without doubt there is ease with hardship. By the blessing of these verses of the Holy Quran, all those difficulties were removed. We should also try. Dear Islamic brothers, surely one has to make sacrifices to achieve something. Our own Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ali Rahmatullahi Al-Akram also made many sacrifices and struggled hard in order to attain the closeness of Allah Azza wa Jalla and pleasure of his Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam, overcome his nafs and Satan, remain safe from sins and distant from the love of the world, enjoying good and gain many rewards by preaching and thus bringing countless disbelievers into the fold of Islam. Although we cannot bear as many hardships as our Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, we can at least make a little effort without giving up hope. Number 8. 25 years in the jungle. O those who have utmost devotion for Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh spent 25 years in the jungles of Iraq, enduring extreme hunger and thirst to gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If only we also travel with the Madani Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami to propagate the Islamic teachings and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam throughout the world. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Number 9. Picking bits of food from the floor and eating them. The King of Baghdad, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stated, I would intend to pick up the fallen things, leaves and grass to eat, but I would leave them making self-sacrifice for others who would also be in search of those things. I would remain hungry. When I became extremely weak and was close to death, I found something lying on the floor near the flower market and picked it up. I sat at a corner to eat it. Suddenly I saw a non-Arab youngster who had fresh bread and roasted meat. He sat and began to eat. When I saw him eating, my desire for food intensified. When he would take the morsel in his hand to eat, I would spontaneously open my mouth so that he may put the morsel into my mouth. However, I rebuked my nafs and asked it to be patient as Allah Azza wa Jalla is with me. I clarified to my nafs that I would never ask the young man for anything to eat. All of a sudden, turning towards me, the youngster said, Brother, please come and join me in this meal. I refused, but he insisted. My nafs also insisted that I eat, but I kept advising it to have patience. However, I ate a little due to the insistence of the young man. He then asked me, Where are you from? I told him that I was from Jilan. He said that he was also from Jilan. He further asked me if I knew Shaykh Abdul Qadir, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, the grandson of the famous ascetic saint, i.e. Wali of Allah, Sayyid Abdullah Somai, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. I replied that I was the same person. Listening to that, he became a little anxious and said that when I was leaving for Baghdad, your mother gave me 8 gold coins to give to you. Having reached Baghdad, I kept looking for you, but no one gave me your whereabouts until all my money was spent. I have been hungry for 3 days. When I became helpless due to extreme hunger, I bought some bread and this roasted meat with some of your money. He then said, Your Honor, please eat this food without hesitation because you are its owner. Previously, you were my guest. Now I am your guest. Giving me the remaining money, he said, I apologize to you. I bought this food in the state of helplessness due to extreme hunger. Shaykh said, I became very happy when I heard that. I then gave him the remaining food and money. He accepted and left. Great excellence of self-sacrifice. Dear Islamic brothers, the foregoing parable contains innumerable Madani pearls for us. On the one hand, our beloved Ghaus-e-Azam Ali Rahmatullahi al-Akram set an excellent example of self-sacrifice by giving food and money to the young man even in the state of extreme starvation and poverty. On the other, there are we, the so-called devotees of Ghaus-e-Azam. Our condition is that even if we eat the meal of the Niaz of Giyarvi, we miss no opportunity to gobble food voraciously, depriving others of their share. O admirers and devotees of Ghaus-e-Azam, whenever your nafs tries to make you devour food in big morsels without chewing them properly while eating with others, recall the foregoing parable of Ghawsi Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, as well as the following hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam: whoever gives the thing that he needs for himself to any other person, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive him. It is stated in Fizan-e Sunnat, Volume 1, page 482, that Shaykh Abu Sulaiman rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said, to refrain from satisfying any desire of nafs is more beneficial to heart than even fasting for 12 months and worshipping at night. Number 10. A strange way of staying awake. Advising his disciples and devotees, Ghawsi Azam alayhi rahmatullahi al-akram said, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, I spent 25 years of my life in the jungles of Iraq. I managed to offer Isha and Fajr Salah with the same wuzu for 40 years. Similarly, I kept the routine of reciting the whole Quran for 15 years in Nafl Salah after Isha. At the beginning, I would fasten a rope around my waist and tie the other end of the rope to a hook in the wall so that I would not fall asleep. One night, when I intended to perform my usual worship, my nafs suggested that I take a little rest first and perform worship afterwards. At the very same moment and place where that thought occurred to me, I recited the whole Quran standing on one leg. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. O devotees of Ghawsi Azam, did you see how abundantly our Ghawsi Azam alayhi rahmatullahi al-akram would perform worship? Allah Azza wa Jalla forbid, if we are lazy in offering even 5 times daily salah, how can we be able to justify our claim of being his devotees? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Number 11. Help of a person in the grave. On Wednesday the 27th of Zulhijjah, 529 AH, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Qudsi Sirruhu Rabbani, along with a qafila of Islamic scholars and pious men, visited the grave of his honorable teacher, Shaykh Hamad Ali Rahmatullahi Al-Jawad, in the Shunizia Cemetery. Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi kept making supplication at the grave till it became scorching sunny. As he Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi returned, his face showed signs of delight. He Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi was asked as to why he made supplication for so long. He Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi replied, on Friday the 15th of Shaban, 499 AH, I and my respected teacher, Shaykh Hamad Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, who is resting in this grave, were on our way to Jami Ur-Rusafa with a qafila to offer Salatul Jum'ah. On the way, whilst crossing a bridge, Shaykh Hamad Alayhi Rahmatullahi Al-Jawad suddenly pushed me, causing me to fall into a canal. It was very cold, but I recited Bismillah and made the intention for Friday bath. Having performed bath, I came out, squeezed the water from my woolen robe and joined the qafila. The disciples of Shaykh Hamad Ali Rahmatullahi Al-Jawad began to laugh, but he Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali rebuked them, saying, I did so just to test Abdul Qadir, and I found him as strong as a rock. Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi further said, while supplicating, I saw my respected teacher, Shaykh Hamad Ali Rahmatullahi Al-Jawad, in his grave, dressed in clothes embroidered with diamonds, with a ruby crown on his head, golden bracelets around his hands, and golden shoes in his feet. But the odd thing was that his right hand was not moving. I asked him the reason for it. He replied, this is the hand whereby I shoved you. causing you to fall into the canal. Will you forgive me? I forgave him. He then said, please make supplication to Allah Azza wa Jalla so that he enables me to use my right hand. I prayed to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and 5,000 saints of Allah said Ameen from inside their graves. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he became able to use his right hand. He then shook hands with me out of happiness. The news spread throughout Baghdad. Listening to it, the disciples of Shaykh Hamad Ali Rahmatullahi al-Jawad were somewhat offended and made their way to the court of Ghaus-e-Azam Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi to inquire about it. But no one had the courage to do so. Ghaus-e-Azam Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi got to know about their inner state and said, choose two shuyukh for the solution to this problem. The disciples of Shaykh Hamad Ali Rahmatullahi al-Jawad chose Shaykh Yusuf Hamdani and Shaykh Abdul Rahman Qurdi Rahmahumullah Ta'ala, who had spiritual insight, and gave Ghaus-e-Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi 2 days respite that both the chosen shuyukh should express their approval for what Ghaus-e-Azam had said. Within 2 days, Ghaus-e-Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi said, Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, this problem will be solved even before you leave. Ghaus-e-Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi then lowered his blessed head. Seeing that, all others present over there also lowered their heads. Suddenly, Shaykh Yusuf Hamdani, Quddisa Sirruhu Nurani, entered barefoot and said, with Allah's command, I have just seen Shaykh Hamad Ali Rahmatullahi al-Jawad, who asked me to go to the madrasa of Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and declare what Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said about him. Shaykh Hamad is true. Meanwhile, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Qurdi Ali Rahmatullah al-Qawi also arrived and said the same. Upon hearing that, the disciples of Shaykh Hamad apologized to Ghaus-e-Azam Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Dear Islamic brothers, the foregoing faith-refreshing parable contains many words of wisdom for us. If our Islamic teacher or murshid ever carries out any such act whose logic we could not comprehend, we should not object to it, as it may result in loss for our hereafter. Instead, we should stick to patience. As our Ghaus-e-Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi set an excellent example of patience, when his respected teacher, Shaykh Hamad Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, pushed him, causing him to fall into the canal. He made the intention of ghusl for Jum'ah and did not utter even a word of complaint. Objecting to one's murshid leads to ruin. Undoubtedly, the Islamic student and the disciple objecting to his Islamic teacher and murshid remain deprived of the blessings of knowledge and gnosis and fall into the abyss of ruin. Ala Hazrat Imam of Ahle Sunnah, reviver of Sunnah, eradicator of Bidah, scholar of Sharia, guide of Tariqah, Alama Mawlana Al-Hajj Al-Hafiz Al-Qari, Asha Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Ali Rahmatul Rahman, has narrated, a disciple must not object to his murshid, as this is a deadly poison for him. There would hardly be any disciple that manages to attain salvation in spite of objecting to his murshid. If he ever fails to comprehend the wisdom of any act on the part of his murshid, he should recall the events of Sayyiduna Khizr alayhi salatu wassalam, as he alayhi salatu wassalam did such acts that apparently seemed to be highly objectionable, like damaging the ship of a destitute person and killing an innocent boy. However, when he alayhi salatu wassalam justified his acts, it would become clear that what he did was right. Likewise, the disciple should have a firm belief that his murshid has an irrefutable proof for the permissibility of the act that does not seem to be right to the disciple. Sayyiduna Imam Abul Qasim Qushayri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has written in the booklet Risala Iqushayriya that he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi heard Sayyiduna Abu Abdul Rahman Sulami alayhi rahmatullahi al-Qawi say, Abu Abdul Rahman Sulami's murshid, Abu Sahal Saluki rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said to him, anyone who says why in any matter to his murshid will never be able to attain salvation. Perfect and imperfect murshid. Dear Islamic brothers, the foregoing blessed fatwa of Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi appertains to only a perfect murshid. As for the so-called murshid, who is not only a blasphemer of the Holy Prophet and his companions, but also an apostate and a religious bigot, it is impermissible and sin to become a disciple of such a person. Similarly, the person committing major sins with impunity or committing minor sins repeatedly is fasike molin, i.e. an open sinner. For instance, the one committing such sins as missing salah openly, taking drugs, abusing, meeting and talking with unveiled women freely, allowing women to kiss or press his hands or feet, watching films and dramas openly, shaving his beard or trimming it less than a fist length, such a person is an absolute open sinner, and thus it is not permissible at all to become his disciple. One should be careful and cautious before becoming a disciple. Therefore, it is stated on page 278 of the first volume of Bahare Shariat, a masterpiece of Sadr al-Sharia, Badr al-Tariqah, Allama Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi Ali Rahmatullahi al-Qawi. There are four preconditions for a murshid, i.e. a spiritual guide. These preconditions must be fulfilled before bay'at. Number one, the murshid must be a Sunni Muslim with correct Islamic beliefs. Number two, he must have adequate Islamic knowledge that he can find out necessary rulings from books. Number three, he must not be a fasike molin, i.e. an open sinner. Number four, his spiritual order must be connected with the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. If a murshid fails to fulfill even a single of the foregoing four preconditions, it is not permissible to become his disciple. If someone unknowingly became a disciple of such a murshid who is not of the above mentioned caliber, it is mandatory for the disciple to break his bay'at, i.e. no longer remain the disciple of such a person. For this, he does not have to inform that imperfect murshid. Instead, just saying that he has broken his bay'at, it's enough. Further, losing belief in one's murshid automatically leads to the termination of bay'at. He can now become a disciple of any perfect murshid. Furthermore, it is also not necessary to inform the new perfect murshid about the termination of previous bay'at with so and so person. The perils of terminating bay'at of perfect murshid. By Sharia and Tariqah, it is strictly prohibited to break bay'at of a perfect murshid without a valid Shari reason. In this regard, a number of sayings of saints have been narrated in different authentic books. The reason of its prohibition in Sharia is that one should at least be grateful to the person who has shown benevolence to him. By virtue of doing bay'at with a perfect murshid, a disciple attains a lot of blessings such as spiritual link with the friends of Allah, ease in the path of tariqah, and at times occurrence of a complete madni transformation in life. Breaking bay'at instead of being grateful to murshid in return for such great blessings is nothing but an utter ungratefulness that is prohibited by Sharia. Therefore, a hadith says, "Man lam yashkurin nas lam yashkurillah." I, the one who has not expressed his gratitude to people, in fact, he has not expressed his gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Further, when a person becomes a disciple of a perfect murshid, he attains many blessings, though sometimes he may not observe it. So when he is attaining blessings, he should let it continue as stated in the following hadith. Man ruziqa fi shay'in falyalzamhu. I, one should stick to the means whereby he gets sustenance. It should also be kept in mind that the termination of the bayt of a perfect murshid without shari reason usually leads the disciple to committing many sins. For instance, the disciple breaking his bayt usually looks down upon his former murshid, which is an extremely haram act leading to one's ruin. Similarly, the termination of bayt amounts to deliberately hurting one's murshid, which is also haram. Likewise, those breaking bayt indulge in backbiting and having ill opinion about their former murshid, opening the door of many other sins. Therefore, it is better and safer to stick to only one court, as it is fruitless to wander hither and thither on the path of tariqah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد. Glad tidings for the Qadiris. It is stated in Bahjatul Asrar that Ghaus-e-Azam Qudsirahu al-Rabbani has said, "I was given an extremely large register in which the names of my companions and those of my would-be disciples till the judgment day were inscribed. I was then told that those people have been blessed due to their spiritual link with me. I asked the angel of hell whether any of my disciples was in hell. He replied in the negative." He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, further said, "I swear by the glory and greatness of my Creator Azza wa Jalla, my hand of protection is above my disciple as the sky is above the earth. Even if my disciple is not righteous, no matter, by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I am righteous. I swear by the glory and greatness of my Creator Azza wa Jalla, I will not leave the court of my Creator Azza wa Jalla unless I make each and every disciple of mine enter the paradise." Ghaus-e-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi further said, "Allah Azza wa Jalla has promised me to make my disciples and friends enter paradise. Therefore, the one who calls himself a disciple of mine, I initiate him into my spiritual order and pay attention towards him. I have made the Munkar and Nakir promise that they would not frighten my disciples in their graves." 16 Rights of Murshid. Ala Hazrat Imam of Ahl Sunnah, the reviver of Sunnah, eradicator of Bidda, scholar of Sharia, guide of Tariqah, Allama Maulana Al-Hajj Al-Hafiz Al-Qari Al-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman has said, "The Murshid has countless rights to be fulfilled by his disciple. Some of them are being mentioned here. Number one, a disciple should remain as submissive to his Murshid as a dead person is helpless before a living one. Number two, he should consider the pleasure of his Murshid as that of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his Murshid's displeasure as Allah's. Number three, for himself, he should regard his Murshid the best of all the contemporary saints. Number four, even if a disciple attains a favor apparently from someone else, he should still consider it as a favor from his own Murshid. Number five, a disciple should remain prepared to sacrifice his wealth, life, offspring and everything else for his Murshid. Number six, even if any act of Murshid appears to be contrary to Sharia or even a major sin, the disciple should not still object to it, nor should he give way to any ill opinion. Instead, he must consider it as his own misunderstanding. Number 7. A disciple must not forsake his murshid. He should consider even a mere thought of it as harmful as fire. He should not become anyone else's disciple, even if the other person appears to be flying in the sky, as it is like changing one's spiritual father. Number 8. He should avoid even talking while present in the court of his murshid, let alone laughing. Number 9. He should keep his eyes, ears and heart completely attentive towards his murshid. Number 10. If the murshid ever asks the disciple about something, he should reply gently and reverentially and then become silent again. Number 11. The disciple should respect his murshid's clothes, sitting place, offspring, house, area and city. Number 12. He should not say why to his murshid's commands. In other words, he should never argue nor should he delay in carrying out his murshid's command. Instead, he should prefer it to all other things. Number 13. A disciple should not sit where his murshid sits, even in his murshid's absence. Number 14. Even after the demise of the murshid, the disciple should not marry his murshid's widow. Number 15. If the murshid is alive, the disciple should daily make supplication for his murshid's protection and well-being. If the murshid has passed away, the disciple should make isale sawab of fatiha and salat to his murshid. Number 16. A disciple should remain a friend of his murshid's friend and an enemy of his murshid's enemy. In short, after Allah Azza wa Jalla and his Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, a disciple should wholeheartedly prefer his relation to his murshid to everyone else's in the world and stick by him. When a disciple becomes devoted to his murshid to this degree, he is blessed with the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla, his Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and saints rahmahumullah ta'ala in his life, at the time of death, in grave, on the judgment day, at the balance, the bridge sirat, the blessed pond, and everywhere else. Even if the murshid is not of a high spiritual rank, he will definitely lead his disciple to spiritually elevated murshid, as this qadriya order is linked with Ghaus-e-Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, from whom to Sayyiduna Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, from whom to the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and then finally to Allah Azza wa Jalla. However, it is imperative that the murshid fulfills the four preconditions of bayt. Then the disciple's firm belief may bring about fruitful results. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Give the booklet to someone else having read it. Distribute the booklets published by Maktabatul Madina on the occasions of wedding, grief, ijtimaat, etc. and get reward. Make it your habit to keep booklets at your shop to give to your customers for free. Get the booklets distributed to your neighbors and others with the help of children and newspaper sellers. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 7 Madni pearls. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu stated that a wise person should prefer 7 things to 7 other things. Number 1. He should prefer poverty to wealth. Number 2. He should prefer worldly disgrace to worldly respect. Number 3, he should prefer humility to self-esteem. Number 4, he should prefer hunger to eating to a full stomach. Number 5, he should prefer sadness to happiness. Number 6, he should prefer the poor, pious people to the rich people of the world. And number 7, he should prefer death to life. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.